Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh. Good morning to everyone out there, our dear listeners. Welcome to another enlightening episode of Everyday Muslim. I am your host, Rashida Adetun Oke Olaniyo. Everyday Muslim is a weekly tonic talk show where we explore topics that impact our lives, faith, and well-being. Today, we are diving into a crucial subject, mental health. As we navigate the fast-paced challenges of our modern life, it's very important and more important for us to prioritize our mental and emotional well-being. We will be exploring what mental health truly means, how to recognize when someone needs or may need help, how can we also nurture a healthy mind through faith, community, and self-care. And of course, that's not all. We will also be taking a brief into the role of Rukia, that Islamic spiritual practice, and how it can support mental health, bringing balance, peace, through a combination of faith and healing. Stay with us as we delve into this important discussion right here on Everyday Muslim. If you are just joining us, you are on to your weekly tonic Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM Women Radio. I have my guest in the house. Some of us know him as a reserved and quiet personality, but then when you hear him speak, let me leave that to the listeners to decide for themselves. You will complete it yourself. His name is Malam Adekunle Omotayo Said. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallahu khairan.
Wa alaikum.
Malam Adekunle Omotayo Said, I also call him Imam because he's an Imam, a youth ambassador, public speaker, counseling psychologist, a farmer, the chief Imam of Al Manar Central Mosque, Araromi, Badagry, Lagos. He is the managing director of Southside Ventures, production and sales of poultry products, and AdeWebs Consult Educational and Counseling Consultant Services, with a national diploma in industrial maintenance engineering from Yaba College of Technology, BE Islamic Studies Education from Lagos State University at LASU, MED Counseling Psychology LASU, and of course PhD in VIEW Counseling Psychology SIM LASU. He is a lecturer of Lagos State University of Education, Otto Ijaniki. He is also a member of NASFOT Counseling Committee, member Association of Professional Counselor of Nigeria. Before I go to my main, to the main deal of the day, I would like us to have, meditate on these quotations, one from the Quran and the other one from the Hadith. Quran 17 verse 82 says, "And we send down of the Quran that which is healing and mercy for the believers." The Hadith of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Indeed, Allah did not send down a disease except that He has sent down its cure." This can be found in Sunnah Ibn Majah 34:38. These two quotations emphasizes that every ailment, including our mental struggles, there is a solution provided by Allah, whether through physical, emotional, or spiritual means. There is always a solution. This will lead me to my first question to Imam. Imam, can you explain what mental health really means? And how do we differentiate between healthy mind and one that is struggling?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah for sparing our lives and for bringing us here onto the program. I also want to appreciate you for what you are doing. Mental health is a very big problem when it is not handled very well. And in the community today, in the society today, people are struggling with a lot of things. So bringing this topic at this time, I think, is a wonderful one and a step in the right direction. We talk about mental health, we're actually referring to our psychological, our emotional, our social well-being. Anything that has to do with our day-to-day affairs, with our life, with our living generally, is what is referred to as our mental health. So when anything affects this negatively, it becomes mental ill health. Not necessarily mental illness, like people would want to always confuse mental health with mental illness. They feel that the person is crazy or has run mad when you talk about mental health. So mental health is just about our social, our physical, our psychological and emotional well-being. And when we say somebody is somebody is in his right mental health, it simply means that the person thinks in the right direction as he should, the person talks as he should, the person is living life as he should, and is not being affected as a person, neither is his own life affecting some other people. So, and that is when we would say that this person is it's fine mentally. Mental health is that thing that allows one cope with everyday activities. There are a lot of stressors. There are a lot of things that may want to affect a person. So when someone is balanced, when someone is not affected negatively by all of these natural happenings, and they say that the person is in a right and positive mental health.
Okay. Mental illness. Okay. Oftentimes, mental health issues are not visible as the physical health problems that we normally have. What are the common signs that someone may be struggling with to show that they have a mental health issue, even though it is not showing to everybody?
Yes, in most cases, mental health issues are not very evident. And that is the reason why someone will struggle with it for years and eventually probably commit suicide, probably try to commit suicide, probably try to become a nuisance in the society by seeking personal help somewhere, maybe doing drugs, maybe whatever. you will be struggling with it. It might just be with you in the society. You will be living together. In fact, it is possible sometimes that the husband will be struggling with mental health and the wife would not know. A lot of times, children, because it's not about adults alone, a lot of times children struggle with it too, and people would not know. So when we see some of these things that I will be listing, then we should know that the person is battling with mental ill health. Sometimes it could be anger. Somebody who is naturally patient just get angry at the slightest provocation. Somebody you probably eat and will take it lightly, you probably eat and it becomes a problem to that person. Is easily provocated. So this person might just be struggling with mental ill health. So excessive anger, transfer of aggression unnecessarily, and you know, the other person will be like, what did I do? You don't even see a reason why the person should act or react the way he or she has done. The person may be struggling with mental illness. Also, the way we eat. Food. Sometimes somebody who eats very well, you think that the person is sick, he just does not want to eat, he might just be losing weight. The person might be struggling with mental ill health. It's not like he has a disease or something. He might just be struggling with mental
ill health. More that the person is not hungry.
Yes, it's not like he's not hungry. He just does not want to eat.
Wow.
Sometimes people eat too much. And you feel like, at this austerity measure period, why are you eating this much? The person might be struggling with mental ill health. So, you know, you just think that the person has a very good appetite. You may not know that the person is struggling with mental illness. Somebody who likes to socialize before just becomes, just want to be alone. If he wants to be isolated, you know, personal isolation, he just want to be on his own. He doesn't want to leave his room. When others are there playing, watching TV, playing games, he wants to be on it. And it's not like he's pressing phone. Sometimes he might be busy with his phone, but being alone, especially for somebody who has not been known to be like that, then those around that person, family and friends, should watch out. Sometimes it could be distorted thoughts. You know, you're saying something and the person is saying something else, and you know, somebody who used to have undivided attention, you'll be talking to that person and it will come back to ask you, what did you say? His mind has traveled far. So it's not like it's normal. When somebody keeps repeating like that and he used normally not being that person, then we have to look out. It could be tiredness, easy tiredness, it could be insomnia, finding it difficult to sleep. And it could be sleeping too much. That is very funny. You see, that's the reason why we need to know ourselves. You as a person should know yourself and people around, and maybe when we get to solution too, we'll be able to talk about what people can do. You see, we have gotten to a situation in our society, and that's why it is rampant. We have gotten to a situation in our society where everybody is minding their business. Everybody is minding their business, and this is a very, very big problem. So when we don't see someone, we don't even ask until we see that person. It's been a week, or it's been 2 weeks. So, did you travel? He said, I didn't travel, I was at home. Now, we have to watch out for that. You didn't travel, you were at home, you didn't come out, you didn't socialize with us like you used to do. It might just be a sign. So when somebody finds it difficult to sleep, it might be a sign of mental ill health. And when someone sleeps too much, it might also be a sign. So that is why it is very important that we draw the balance. You know, somebody who does not do drug before now find solace in taking drugs. Somebody who does not smoke now smoke. Somebody who does not drink now drinks, you know, hoping that drinking would help him to overcome whatever it is
that is happening with him. There are lots and lots and lots of that. And finally, it could be suicidal intent. And that is when mental ill health has gotten to its peak. You just find living life, you just find it so you don't see anything interesting about life itself. Let me just end it all. Mm. Let me leave this world. It could just be anything. And when this person tells you the reason, you that you are mentally balanced, you would find it difficult to see a reason in what the person is seeing, but is battling with that. That is the final stage of mental ill health. Suicidal intent.
Imam, I don't think you
could be body pain too, sometimes.
Body pain?
Yes, you just think, I've worked too much. When it keeps recurring, you know, it could be backache, it could be ache in some part of the body, it could be headache. You know, we just have to watch out for what is not normal about us.
Okay. Imam, I want to take you back to the sleeping aspect of it. Some people say that in my family, we don't sleep early. We don't sleep on time. Some will say, it looks like his father or maybe the mother, they sleep a lot. What can you say about that briefly?
You see, we cannot rule out the fact that some things are hereditary.
Okay.
Nature is there. Nurturing is there. Nature is about our genetic formations, the things we pick from our parents. So mental ill health too could be natural. So when you say that is how the mom used to sleep, the person could just pick from the mother. It does not mean that the person is fine, because he's hereditary too. Sometimes. So we if somebody is not doing what is normal to every other person, we just have to watch out. We don't sleep early at home. Maybe, you know, when you say something has become a habit, it is that thing that we've been doing repeatedly and we have gotten used to. And likewise with our body. If you are someone that sleeps around 12 a.m., you don't sleep until 12 a.m., and you try to sleep around 10, you will just be struggling with it until that 12 a.m. because you have structured your body to have adapted to that time. So when you see kids who went to boarding house and there is light out, they get used to that naturally. Imagine being forced to go to bed maybe 9 p.m. and you don't have a choice. You must go to bed. Somebody is watching and be sure you're going to bed. And you do that for 6 years. That becomes a normal thing. It takes time before you readjust to something else. And when you are now readjusting and your body is trying to fight it, you have to watch out too.
Thank you very much, Imam. If you are just joining us, you are on to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM. Everyday Muslim is brought to you by MPAC in collaboration with WFM. My guest is still Imam Adekunle Said. He is a counselor and a psychologist. And our topic is the essentials of mental health. You can join the conversation by dialing 07000-917-917. 07000-917-917. Prefer to send a chat or direct message 07031756537. Imam, earlier you mentioned that the community that we find ourselves, everybody's being on your own. I don't want to have any business with anybody. If you now talk about mental health, they will stigmatize you. What do you think is the problem, and how can we collectively break that stigmatization? In addition, there was a program that I heard, and the person there was saying that mental health is just a kind of fabrication, is something that we just think about and we start using it. It is not here.
Yes, first and foremost, I want to disagree with that person. It is not fabricated. It is here. It is a reality, and we have to deal with it. And people who have this kind of thoughts are actually not doing good for the society. This might just be my own opinion, because that is the person's opinion that he has shared.
But my opinion is based on facts, is based on research of over years. And today we have lots of people who are doing a lot about mental health and helping people. So I wouldn't subscribe to that person's idea that mental health is a fabrication. Now, I'm talking about the stigma that we as a people have been putting on people who have mental ill health or on people who decide to come out and talk about it. I must say that as a society, we are not doing enough. As a society, we are not doing enough. I did mention earlier that it's everybody to his own life. People, unlike even as young as I am, when I was still growing up, I know that it is a societal, the whole society come together to mold us to become who we are. And I cannot forget that at all. So today it is not like that. A lot of people are just doing what they like, and a lot of people are minding their business. That's the way they put it. So what we need to do as a people and as a community, as a society, wherever we find ourselves, no matter how small that society is or that community is to come out and talk. This program is a right step in the right direction, for instance. A lot of people who listen to it might just be beneficial to them, and they get informed. So we need to do more enlightenment like we're doing now. At our local mosque, at our local churches, community meetings, we should talk about this. People are struggling with a lot of things. So we cannot just fold our hands. It is when someone dies, you see people saying, and he should have spoken out, like if he had spoken out, we would not stigmatize him. The society in some cases would even ostracize that person, and it becomes a very big problem. That's why a lot of people will keep quiet. I don't want them to know until they cannot handle it again on their own. So we need as a society to keep doing what we are doing now. The society need information. People are not getting enough information. People don't even know. Some people don't know they are struggling with mental ill health until it has gotten to the peak. And they start thinking of killing themselves. They start thinking of harming others. And harming others, in most cases, does not really, really happen. Anybody who struggles with mental health just want to end it. I'm tired of all of these things. I can't take it anymore. I can't. So we need to create more enlightenment. We need to create more information so that people don't stigmatize and people know they would not be stigmatized.
Okay. So you mentioned harming others. What about in the case whereby someone harmed another person and they will say that he has a mental health issue? That was why he had to harm the person. How does it correlate?
Yes, it happens. You know, when we're talking about signs earlier, I said anger is one of the signs of mental ill health. And whether lightly provoked, whether provoked very well, you know, somebody could just get angry. And when you are angry and you can't control it, then definitely you can do and undo. If you want to transfer aggression or you want to vent your anger at someone, you might hit the person with something and the person eventually dies. If we say the person is struggling from mental health issue, there's a difference between really having a psychiatric issue or struggling with mental health, not thinking rightly. The courts might, if proven by the hospital, psychiatric hospital, that this person could actually harm others because of reasons beyond this or our control, then the person, you know, rather than saying he committed murder, they will say it is manslaughter. And it becomes, as of that, we have a very good lawyer, but we cannot rule out the fact that somebody who is struggling with serious mental health issue can actually harm others. And when you harm others, sometimes it could even lead to death. We have seen husbands who kill their wives. We have seen wives who kill their husbands. So definitely is something that could happen.
With the fast pace of modern life, Imam, with the job pressure, to social media, because I think that a lot of these things we read on social media, with the role of these factors, or let me say, the economy itself, let's come back to Nigeria, the economy itself, with what we read on social media, juggling with our 9-to-5 job, or let me say those that are also doing businesses, what role do these factors play in the mental health challenges of today?
You see, we cannot rule out the fact that all of these things are stressors, and they contribute immensely to mental health. When someone does not have quality time to rest, a lot of people who work even in establishments, they find it difficult to eat quality and good meal. They have to rely on junks. Imagine taking junks 5-6 times a week, only having the time to eat quality meal maybe once in a week. All of these things definitely are contributing factors to mental health. So we cannot rule it out. Imagine staying in traffic for 4-5 hours. And there is no way, even if you want to take a nap in traffic, there is no way you do that, and you do that, and you do that well. So, all of these things that you have highlighted, you have mentioned, they contribute to mental health. They do. Your own personal business. Imagine sitting at your place of work and getting, even if you just decide to use your phone, the news, the information you get to see, 50 people have been kidnapped, 20 people have been killed, all of these things, all of this disturbing information also contributes to mental ill health. They affect us directly or indirectly. Don't even talk about the economic situation of the country in Nigeria presently. That is a very, very big problem. Imagine you close from work, you have not made any money. And you know very well that you didn't leave money at home. The landlord is there. He wants to collect money too because he relies on his rent. The children have been sent out of school. There is no food at home. All of these things are very, very big stressors. They are very, very big signs and symptoms. All of these things are because mental illness. It's just a fact.
You've mentioned the landlord depending on his rent for survival. You mentioned even the tenant looking for how to maintain the home, maintain the children. Can you name some of the practical self-care techniques that people can incorporate into their daily lives to maintain and improve their mental well-being?
You see, there are a lot of things that we can do as individuals, even as a family, and there are things we can do collectively as a community too, to help people manage their mental health. One of such, which it does not even cost us any money, is exercise. Today, especially someone who has a car, if he wants to visit a friend on the next street, he wants to go with his car. And it becomes, as cool as that is, it is in itself a very big problem. So let us exercise regularly as individuals. We can come together as a family. 15-minute exercise every morning is going to help us manage mental health. Today, the rate at which we use our phone is alarming. So I used to wonder how we have survived when there was no phone. I used to wonder because today, the screen time that people have is like half of a day.
Some people use their phone for 12 hours, 14 hours a day. Even at night when they are supposed to sleep, they are still pressing the phone. So reducing screen time is going to help us a great deal. If you are the type that love reading, you know, reading, even if you want to use your phone, if it's about reading about something that that you love to do, to read about, then that will also help you. Taking time to sleep. Now, I said it earlier that sleeping too much or not sleeping enough is a sign of mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
But it has been proven that at least you should take 6 hours sleep a day. At least 6 hours. How many of us do that? Somebody who gets home around 1 a.m. or and has to leave for work around 5 a.m. There's no way you can get 3 hours sleep, and it becomes a very big problem. Even if it's about taking a nap. In the Arab world, there is what they call the khaylula. Khaylula is the nap they take between in the noon, between Zuhr and Asr. Let's say between 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. Arabs don't miss that. They shut their shops. They, even if they would not sleep or nap, they would rest. But we don't do that. So that will also help a great deal with mental health. Healthy eating healthy meals. Very, very important. It does not have to be very expensive to be healthy. And that is the problem. That is what we don't get. Social connection. You know, I said isolation could just be a problem. Isolation could be a problem. But if you talk about people coming together as a group to check up on each other, to have maybe weekly meetings, you know, anything that has to do with social connection. That's why you see some people after work every day, they still connect with their friends. They probably say they go to club or, you know, some areas. I know places in Lagos, especially on the island, where they have places where people would just sit and interact. They do that till whatever time they feel like before they retire to their bed. So social connection is fine. We should take time to rest, to relax. We work too much.
Wow.
It's so much that even some people would want to monetize their vacation. Rather than taking their leave, they would monetize it. You know, anybody who has a company wants to use you optimally. There is no foreman anywhere. Nobody can do four persons job.
But they want to balance up.
They want to balance up. You know, if your job is between 8 and 4 or 9 to 5, like we used to call it, please just do that job and go. If somebody is paying you, a lot of times we, you know, the things that bother us, that really cause all of these problems, are either things we do not have power or control over, or things that are even gone, things that happened in the past. You can't bring the past back to the present. So why bother yourself? So a lot of times we want to make so much money. Today we talk about our children, hey, my children, and you are struggling as if your children would not even survive if you die. If you die today, your children will survive. That is just the fact. It's a fact. So a lot of us don't go on vacation. I tell people, even if you have to go to your village, take vacation every year. You don't have to travel abroad. You don't have to go to Miami. You don't have to go to anywhere. If you have to go to your village, go, take your children, just go, travel, 1 week, 2 weeks. You will see the difference. By the time you come, you'll be able to process your thoughts, you'll be able to, you know, you'll be so organized. So we need to relax enough. Today we are not doing that. We work too much. People work on Sundays. People don't rest. And it's not just about Nigeria. It's about the whole world. I know people who would go to work in the morning. Somebody in the UK will go to work in the morning and we still go at night because 10 hours, okay, it's going to be $110. If I put that into Naira, this
bills.
Going to be this.
You have lots of bills to pay.
Lot of bills. Subhanallah. If we die today, the job will continue.
Well, that's true.
Nobody, no employer will leave your seat vacant for 2 days. If they do not put somebody there, the person will be in his own office, will be doing your work. It simply means that if those files are not treated by you, it will be treated by someone else. So why not take that time to rest? This is a self-care that we can give to ourselves. Volunteering. Today is one of the things that we have lost in our society. People don't want to volunteer. Well, volunteer in social services. Sometimes when you think your problem is much, just volunteer with people that go to the hospital. You see somebody who has the money, who is there, who is crying. They cannot live there. Go to the prison. Volunteer. It's one of the things that has helped me. And I can give this to anybody as a solution to mental ill health. Volunteer. If you volunteer, it's going to help you to network. It's going to help you to socialize. And it's going to help you to forget your own problem. Because you will definitely somebody who is struggling more than you do. So these and so many things, you know, that has to do with anything that has to do with you going out of your way to help people, you know, would definitely serve as self-care techniques.
Thank you very much, Imam. Let's take a short break with this Nasheed Be Happy by Uthman. We'll be right back. Joining us, you are on to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM. Everyday Muslim is brought to you by MPAC in collaboration with Women Radio. And my guest is still Imam Adekole Said, a counselor and a psychologist. And our topic is the essentials of mental health. You can join the conversation by dialing 07000-917-917 or send a chat or direct message to 070-317-56537. Imam, how important is early intervention when it comes to mental health? What should someone do if you notice their loved ones are beginning to struggle?
You see, we must not rule out, in fact, we can't rule out the importance of early intervention. If we intervene early enough, then there won't be all of these problems that mental ill health causes our society. For anybody who feels or observes that he or she is struggling with mental ill health, the person should seek help as soon as possible. And seeking help might mean talking to people who can really, really help, especially professionals. When you speak to professionals, professionals know how to handle this. Unlike an individual who is not trained to handle it, who may want to trivialize. And that's where people have issues. Sometimes somebody come to you to tell you what they are dealing with, and you make fun of it. Ah, just that one? Is it because of that one? Imagine, okay, there is this someone that I treated earlier. This person had issues whenever he is with people, and he sees someone and he tries to compare the person's physical look to himself, and it has gotten so bad that now he has suicidal thoughts. So you, if he says that to you, that you know, anytime I see that this person looks more physically active or better than me, I do have this thought. Somebody who is not a professional would want to trivialize it. So for friends and family who observes any of the signs and symptoms that we have mentioned earlier, please do not trivialize. Do not trivialize. If you can't handle it as a person, help that person. Make them see reason to speak to professionals. They may not tell, even when you tell someone that, hey, you are not acting well, or I don't think you're fine, I think you should talk, they'll tell you, ah, there's nothing wrong with me. Because denial is always there because of the stigma. They don't want people to think they are crazy or they, you know, you are not thinking right like normal human being. So they see themselves as abnormal already. So as friends and family, we should make them see the need, a reason to talk to someone. And we should be there. This is a problem because we are dealing with our own problems. We are not always there for others. So we should be there. But as an individual who observes or notices that in himself, he should speak out early enough and don't just speak to anybody. Talk to professionals, people who can help.
Thank you, ma'am. We have a question here. Thank you for telling us the difference between mental and psychiatric illness. Please explain more how we should help a person with mental illness instead of stigmatizing. I know you mentioned something briefly, but I think the person wants you to elaborate more on it.
Yes. The main help we can give to anybody who is struggling is to speak, to help him to speak out, to help him to see somebody who can help him. If we can't handle it, that's the best way to help someone. We can also influence this person, being more social, inviting the person out to events, helping the person join volunteering groups. We can do all of this beyond stigmatization. Stigmatization is the main problem here. People know they will be stigmatized, and unfortunately, people who stigmatize do not have enough information about not stigmatizing. People don't even know when they stigmatize. You know, when you are with your friends, imagine you are just joking with your friends, and somebody who had told you what is really, really hurting him or something, and you say, oh, look at this one. Am I like you that your wife is controlling?
Okay.
It is a problem to that person.
We have a call. Assalamu alaikum.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, I'm Mr. Yusuf Olamileko Adedeyo. I'm calling from Alakoko.
Okay, you're welcome.
Yes, I want to say salam alaikum to our lecturer there. My question is this. What is the role of Rukia in the treatment of this mental issue like depression and the rest? You know, is it allowed or is not? I mean, we should just go to medical way of treating it. So that's my question.
Thank you very much. You got that question out of me, actually. That was my next question. So, Imam, let's go straight to that.
Yes. For those who do not know what Rukia is spiritual exorcism. Literally, the term may want to be translated as incantation. But they have verses of the Holy Quran, verses and chapters of the Holy Quran, which are recommended by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to treat all forms and kinds of illnesses and afflictions, depression, mental ill health inclusive. I have had personal experiences with people that Rukia has helped to maintain mental health. Yes. For somebody who has distorted thoughts, who does not think well, Rukia would definitely help that person to be able to think in the right direction. Even for somebody who has gone beyond just having mental ill health to mental illness, that has gone psychiatric, that needs psychiatric intervention, I have seen a lot of times that Rukia was helpful. So, Rukia, for anybody who is struggling with mental ill health, please go for Rukia. Rukia is not just what anybody can do. You have to be trained to be able to do Rukia. And unlike somebody who has gene possession, because that is what we always think people need Rukia for, that someone who has gene possession. No, it does not have to be like I eat in my dreams, I have sexual intercourse in my dreams, I do this, I don't even know when I keep money, I can't find it there, and you're the only one living in your home. You know, all of these things are machinations, evil machinations of the genes, the demons. It is a misconception to now think that is what Rukia is meant for. In fact, if somebody is struggling with his business, struggling with academics, the person should go for Rukia. This is a recommendation by our prophet. So please, if you know anyone who is struggling with mental ill health, you can't think clearly, you sleep beyond measure, you don't sleep at all, please go for Rukia. It helps.
Okay. I have a question here that says, someone said that if you think of suicide, that means you don't have faith anymore. That it means that you are not, your tawakkul is not enough. Can you explain more?
You see, if we have to go Islamic, Allah has made us to understand that we will face trials, we'll face challenges. He says in Quran chapter 2 verse 155 that when I test you, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ, when I test you with any of whether fear, whether hunger, whether loss of properties and lives, whether reduction in your wealth, whether famine, if I test you with any of these things, you have to realize that it is just a test and trial for me. It's a test of faith. And he says that anybody that is going to, in the next verse, 156, anybody that is going to pass this test will be someone who relies solely on Allah. Somebody who believes that when those tests, those things that come are tests, and they are not self-inflicted, even if you think you caused them, they are designed by Allah. And because having those things that you lost in the first place was Allah's intervention, it was Allah that provided them to you before, and if you don't have them now, it is still Him that has deprived you of those things. And anytime it happens, you say, we are from Allah and unto Him is our return. Allah says those people are those that will always be patient. So, anybody who, for any reason, thinks taking his life is the solution, I want to agree too that the person does not know the true worth and capability of God. Does not know the true worth and capability of God. You want something, or you've honed something, and you lose that thing. So anybody who is conscious and who has total reliance would come back to say, well, I didn't own this thing in the first place. So if I lose it today, it's because it's not mine. And if my reaction towards losing it is right, is positive, I could get it again or get something that is better. We know of prophets of God in the past who were afflicted. One of those is Ayub. that the Christians call Job. The story of Ayub in the Quran and in the Bible is very, very similar. He was afflicted with illness. And if you say somebody was afflicted with illness, it simply means that the person used to be healthy. He was afflicted with loss of property. In fact, he became very, very poor. It simply means that the person used to be rich. He had wives, he had all of those, and he lost them. Losing them did not stop him from relying and still worshiping God and hoping. Because anybody that decides to take his life, it is out of hopelessness. So he still hoped for the best. And by God's design, because of his attitude towards those afflictions, God changed things and it became better than it were before those afflictions.
Example, Karen. Now, I want us to go to the younger generations. I won't call them Gen Z, but the younger audience now. We live in a digital age where social media contributes to anxiety and depression. How can people, especially the younger ones, as I said, maintain good mental health in this environment?
You see, it's so unfortunate, and it's one of the reasons why people easily have mental illness. We judge our own lives by the lives of others. A lot of us don't see, especially younger ones. You know, I said it earlier that it's not about older people now, it's about even younger ones. If you look at I do not have a statistics, but if I have to go by the news and all of these things that we hear, you see that the rate at which younger ones commit suicide is more than the rate at which older people commit suicide. So I think it calls for concern. The social media has really, really not been helpful. People find it difficult to sieve, to distinguish between the information they should take from the social media and the one they shouldn't. Celebrities that we see and we think they are fine, you know, later on in life we see that they are struggling. And a lot of people would have based their own life expectancy, they would have based it on the life of someone else. This person rides different cars, this person does this, this person does that, and becomes a very big problem. And that's why people will go extra lengths to wanting to own what others also own. So, as for youths, I think it is very, very important for them to not take all information they get on the social media. And for anything anybody has, if you have a cup and you always see that cup as half empty, you will have problem. You will run into mental ill health. If you have a cup that has half water and you always see it as half filled, you won't have problem. You used to have it filled. You were the one that drank it to the middle. So why will you feel bad that this thing is finished, you know? Ah, this thing is almost finished. It used to be filled. So anytime you see your cup as half empty, you run into problem. But when you see it as half filled, you don't run into problem. So there is a difference between the two. And the size of water or whatever the cup contains does not change. But our perception would now influence the effects it will have on us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave an hadith. He said, "Unzuru ila man huwa asfala minkum." Always look at those that are below you in favor. Look at those that do not have as much as you do. "Wala tanzuru ila man huwa fawqakum." Do not look at those who are above you. Because if you are the type that will always look at what you have not achieved, what you have not achieved. Somebody, my friend has built a house, I have not built a house. You forget, you live in a rented apartment, in a flat. You pay your bills. You forget somebody who is even older than you, who is living under the bridge. So if you are the type that will always look at the achievement of others and base your life on those, Ajdaru an la tazdaru ni'mat Allah. The Prophet said it will make you to belittle the favor of Allah on you. You always feel like God has not done anything for you. So you can go about with your leg. Somebody is crawling. Somebody cannot even leave home. And he has all the wealth. So if you are the type that always look at what you have not achieved, and that is what is happening to the Gen Z. I saw on the social media a young boy, 24 years old, he was caught trying to use his parents for rituals. His parents. And when this guy was talking, he said, I have seen a lot, I have experienced a lot. I said, what could a 24-year-old boy have experienced?
Oh my God.
In and about life that would want him want to use his parents as rituals.
Allahu Akbar.
So this is the problem. We want to, what we cannot achieve in 10 years, we want to achieve it immediately. And if we cannot now, we feel so bad and it affects our mental health.
Allahu Akbar. Jazakallahu khairan, Imam. There's a difference between half filled cup and half empty. That is taken. Jazakallahu khairan. As we wrap up today's episode, my question goes to Imam Malam Adekunle Said. Acknowledgement also goes to WFM and MPAC for putting up this enlightening and educative program. A big thank you to my producer, Blessing, and to our listeners. I hope you have gained, and of course, a deeper understanding about mental health, how we can support people around us, and of course, the use of Rukia in mental health. It is also very important for us to take our minds and our spirits, very important, take care of it. It is also important for us that the journey of mental health, it is through self-care and community support. And of course, every step that we take should always nurture our well-being. Remember, there is no shame in seeking for help, just like Imam have said. We should always try to seek for help. And as Muslims, our faith also provides with powerful tools for healing and resilience. If you are someone or you know someone that is struggling, please reach out. It is very important. So I will not start hearing that this person committed suicide, this person did this, this person did that. May Allah help us. Thank you for tuning into Everyday Muslim. If you like, okay. Thank you for tuning into Everyday Muslim. It is important for us to continue this conversation on mpac-ng-org. You will also find other past episodes there. Until we come your way again next time, remember this verse of the Quran. For every hardship comes ease. May Allah ease our fears, grant us peace of mind, and of course, strengthen our hearts. Ameen. I am Rashida Adetun Okeolaniyo, saying, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Give thanks to Allah for the moon and the stars. Praise Him all day for what is and what was. Take hold of your iman, don't give in to shaitan. Oh, you who believe, please give thanks to Allah. Allahu Ghafoor, Allahu Rahim, Allahu Yuhibbul Muhsinin. Wa Khaliquna, wa Raziquna, wa Huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah is Ghafoor, Allah is Rahim, Allah is the one who loves the Muhsinin. He is our Creator, He is our Sustainer, and He is the one who has power over all.